Well, good morning, Crossroads. How are we doing today? It's going to be a wild day. Buckle your seat belts. We're kicking off a brand new series of messages called MPR. We're talking about marriage, we're talking about parenting, and we're talking about relationships. And why are we doing that? Because we at Crossroads want you to win at relationships. We really want you to win, and I do believe it's God's intention for every single one of us to win in our relationships. And yet a lot of people are losing. Let's just face it. Now, for us to do that, we're going to have to step back a little bit, and we're going to have to not make social media our relationship goals. Okay, ladies, especially if you're dating, right, we need to step back and realize we're going to stop making The Bachelor your benchmark for your relationship goals. Let's face it, some of us come from broken homes. We've had broken relationships because we've come from broken families. You've had situations that were very unhealthy in your life. You've been hurt. And I want all of us to leave it all right here. And just for the next few weeks, as we go through this series, to make the Word of God the standard for all of our relationships. So in this series, I'm going to be very direct, which is very odd for me, right? I know. I'm probably going to be a bit funny because I and people, if you watch them, are funny. But I'm going to be very, very intentional in letting you know that God that designed you also designed relationships. And He wants us to win. And no matter where your relationships are currently, whether they're good, they're bad, they're a mix of in between, some of them are so damaged, you don't know if they can ever be fixed, that God can bring new life and He can fix your relationships and mine. So this series is for everybody. This series is for people who are single. This message is for people who are single that want to be single. This message series is for single people that don't want to remain single forever. This is for people who are married. This is for those of you that wish you weren't. This series is for people that wonder if you should have married somebody else. And this series is for stalkers. Some of you are stalkers. Let's just be honest. Some of you are stalking. Some of you are scoping around every time you're here like, hey, anybody interested, right? So it's for everybody. Because why? Because God wants us to win in relationships. If you would take out your message outlines, I encourage you to follow along, fill in your blanks, make your own notes, because what's written down is very, very important. And what I'm going to share in this series, many of you may have never heard some of this stuff before. Some of it may be a reminder. Some may be brand new. But in the Bible, for years, I didn't know some of this stuff was in there. And the reason I didn't know this is because the way I was raised, and I was raised in church till I was 8 years old, my parents divorced. Some of you were raised in church, some of you weren't raised in church. But I don't know about you, but I got very minimal instruction from my parents on relationships. Very minimal. I mean, I was raised in church basically till my parents divorced, right? You know, the only instruction I remember when I was a teenager about relationships was, don't have sex before you're married. I was like, is that it? Like nothing else? Nope, just don't have sex before marriage. What happens when you miss that one? Come on, you all gonna be fake today? What happens when you miss that one several times? Huh? Told you we were going to have fun. What happens when you're introduced to things at an early age that you shouldn't have probably been introduced to? What if in your life you went from watching the Flintstones to something else just like that? What happens when you were exposed or illegitimately touched? Some of you know. Some of you have that story. What happens then about relationships? What advice do you receive then? Oh, pray about it. Ask the Lord why he is, and he ain't saying nothing. What are you supposed to do now? And so what I decided years ago as a pastor is I was going to be real. I was going to be as honest and as transparent as I possibly could and openly transparent and tell people the truth about God, about life, about relationships from the truth of his word. And the truth about relationships is this. I have found that it comes down to a couple of truths. And so for these first 2 weeks, we're going to lay a foundation that's going to affect every relationship that you have. If you will make these 2 weeks, listen, just as we get this started, if you will buy into this, and if you will practice this and add the pieces to your life, listen, it will affect all of your relationships. Let me begin by saying this. I can't emphasize it enough. There is power in the Word of God. Do you get that? There's power in the Word of God. There is power in God's Word. The reason we need to go there first is because God is the one that created relationships. He knows how they're supposed to work. That's why we go to the Bible first. How many of you believe the Bible is truth from cover to cover? How many of you have read it from cover to cover? Isn't that funny? Not really. I believe it all, Pastor, but you haven't read it. When's the last time you read it? Have you read Facebook and social media more than you've read God's Word of late? Whew. That's why I wore work boots today. I'm going to be your friend. God wants to do something in your life, and he wants to do something in mine. And when God really wants to do something, he writes it down, right? It's been written down. What's written down has longevity. Have you realized that? Can I help you understand the power of the written word of God? God didn't just speak it. He wrote it down. He worked through people to write it down so we could have his word. And it is and will stand the test of time. When the founders of our country wanted to come up with the things that would hold our country together and make it the greatest country in the world, you know what they did? They didn't just say it. They wrote it down. That's how we got our Constitution. They didn't just say it and hope that it spread, and it spread correctly. It was documented. When Martin Luther would go around, he was troubled by all the injustices in the world, and he had a vision of a new world, a way where all color wouldn't matter, where you grew up wouldn't matter. You know what? He had some great speeches, but then they wrote those things down, and because they are written down, they've had longevity. When God wanted you and I to understand who he is and his heart and the amount of love that he has for us and for your kids, he didn't just say it. He inspired men to write it down, and you and I still have access to that today 24/7. There's power in the word of God. Here's what God said in Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass will wither and the flowers will fade, but the word of God will remain forever. Can we get an amen right there? The Word of God, it's forever. It's written down. You want to change your life? You want to change your relationship? We've got the power in the Word of God. Man, you're getting awful excited about that. Because there's power to change lives there. And yet, you know what our problem is? And I believe this is huge, and it's running rampant in our world today, and that is for a lot of people, the Bible is just another book. God's truth is just another suggestion that's added to a myriad of other options that you can pick from. The Bible is our blueprint. And if you look at the Bible as a blueprint of it being truth, it's the go-to source. But yet many of us read more social media daily than we do God's blueprint for our lives. And then we wonder why our relationships look very similar to the ones we see on Facebook. Let me give you a biblical response to that. Duh! I want us to look at God's principles today. His blueprint is full of principles. You want to build your life that's going to be stable, you got to build it on the truth and God's principles. He doesn't build things on feelings and trends. We live in a society right now that's built on trends and feelings. Why do you do a lot of what you do? Because I felt like it. Why didn't you do what was good for you? Because I really didn't feel like it. Everybody say principles. That's what we're going after today. This isn't on your note sheets, but you ought to write it down. I suggest this. The more principles you learn from the Word of God, the more principles you and I learn from the Word of God, the less we have to pray about what to do. Think about that. The more principles of God's Word that I know, the less I have to pray about things. You know why? Oh, well, I don't know if I agree with that, Pastor. You're telling us not to pray? Not saying that. I'm saying the more of God's Word that I know, the more of His principles that I know, I don't have to pray about those things. Why? Because He's covered it with a principle. Well, I still don't know. That sounds sacrilegious. How many of you drive a car? How many of you know that there's such a thing called the principle of gas? If you get to work, you head to work tomorrow, and you look in your car, and it's on E, and you got 30 miles to get to work, and your light's blinking. If you understand the principle of gas, here's what you don't do. You don't say, God, would you send your ministering angels and expand that gas in my tank so I can get to work today because I really don't have time to stop and get gas. You don't call your friend and say, hey, will you pray that my gas tank gets filled up because I don't have a chance to stop today. I'm not going to eat my breakfast now. I'm going to fast so that God gets me to work with my empty gas tank. No, the principle of gas is if it's empty, you're going to run out of gas unless you stop and fill it up. That's a principle. Well, I don't know if I really believe that. Go to the top of a 10-story building and jump. If you say, I don't understand, I don't even know if I believe in the principle of gravity, you're going to splat. That's how solid a principle is. What if we lived our lives according to God's principles? What if we did marriage and dating and relationships according to God's principles? To do that, we have to know what they are. And once you know what they are, you don't have to pray about certain things. You just let the principle, you live it out. Principles simplify your life. They simplify my life if I know them. And if we made a line in the sand today and say, listen, I'm going to make the Word of God the primary truth in my life because it is true. I'm going to spend time in it every single day, and I'm going to live my life and build my life from the principles of God's Word. And no matter if you're married or you're single or you don't want to be or you're going to get married again one day or whatever, listen, those principles are strong and they work. Let me tell you a little bit about relationships, because I know a little bit about them. I've been in a relationship with my wife sitting down here front. We've been known each other for almost 41 years, a little over 40, and we've been married almost 40. That shows you how quick things moved. God takes care of widows and fools. People ask me, how long you been married? I said, almost 40 years, 39 of them happily. So one of those years was pretty darn tough. You take two young people and you put them together and they think they're infatuated with each other. And then what I call the darn dailies happen, right? You don't really know if you love anybody until you have to hold their hair back when they're puking, right? But if it wasn't for God's principles, let me just tell you, we wouldn't have been married for 5 years. If you heard an amen, that was my wife. I almost messed this one up completely. I almost lost the greatest gift other than Jesus that God has ever given me because I was going off of principles that culture taught me. I was going off principles that I observed in my own home, in my school, watching jocks, watching people date, watching other married people that I was doing life with when I was in the military, seeing what they did, and I started to build off of those principles. And I started to see my life coming unraveled because of the principles that could not hold up to real life in a solid way. I was building my marriage on the wrong blueprints. Well, what principles should we be building on? God's Word. We've just established that. And there's a few principles that many of you are building that are actually eroding your relationships, eroding your life, and you don't even know it. And so we've got to get back to the greatest principle-giving tool that there is known to mankind, and that is from the hand of God Himself in the written Word of God, because I don't want you to be ignorant. I didn't say ignorant yet. I said ignorant. I'm just building you into this. You know what it means to be ignorant? Doesn't mean you're stupid. Doesn't mean you're dumb. It means you have a lack of understanding of something. Can we just admit we're all ignorant when it comes to certain subjects? There's things I don't have a clue about, but I'm glad somebody else does. And you know what the truth is? As much as we like to, as Christians, to praise and sing worship songs, so many of us that are sitting in churches, not just this church or sitting at home online, but in churches all over the world, they are ignorant when it comes to the truth of God. They don't know the principles of relationships in God's Word, although they sit in churches like this and they sing the songs and they go to small group and they do the thing, but they don't know. They're ignorant when it comes to the Word of God. Well, Pastor, me and my husband, we've been married 45 years. You don't like each other, though. You understand it's not just time. You're business partners, and you happen to have a couple of kids together. Now that the kids are gone, if the truth were known, you're living totally separate lives. You just kind of have a business relationship together. That's not what God wanted. That's not His blueprint. I can't tell you how many people have told my wife and I, well, she was, yeah, you know what? You just kind of get used to it. We've been married for years and years and years, and the first few were bad, and then they got okay, and then it just kind of trickles from there. Baloney. Doesn't need to be that way. My wife and I still have a date day every week, and we look forward to it. We're dating each other even, and we look forward to it. Some of you said, hey, I have a date night too. My wife doesn't even know about it. That's a whole different deal. We're not going there today. I tell you, we're going to have some fun. Fill this in if you're taking notes. Your greatest enemy is not sin or Satan, it's ignorance. I'm not saying you're dumb. I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm telling you, in relationships, your greatest challenge is because you're ignorant if you don't know God's principles for what He says for relationships. The enemy can have control when you're ignorant, when you don't know. Do you know in the Hebrew, the word ignorant, you know what the real word is? It's darkness. That translates from darkness to ignorance. What does God call the devil? One of the labels He gives him. He's the prince of darkness. You know what that means? Prince of ignorance. If He can keep us ignorant about certain subjects, He can have His way with us, because then He can just fill our minds with Facebook or social media or what other people are doing. And if we think that's valid truth as well and it's just an option, I'll pick some of those and I'll destroy my relationships that I say I love. If you're ignorant towards the Word of God, the devil will step in and he will kick your blessed assurance. And it's time for Christ followers, those of us that claim we know Him and we know the truth, to start building our lives on the truth, to start opening up God's Word more than we open up social media, and starting to use God's blueprint to build our lives on and build our relationships on, to build our marriages on. Don't you think it's time? Why would we remain ignorant on something that God wrote down for us that we don't have to struggle, but yet we've struggled for years because we follow in the wrong blueprints? Fill this in. If you're taking notes, the less ignorance you have, the less destruction you experience. That's back to those principles, right? If I know the principles, the less ignorant I am, the less destruction I'm going to experience because I'm going to build off of the truth. We need the light of His Word in our lives daily. Look at John 8, 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. Guess what? If you have light, you don't have darkness. And if you follow me, not if you know it, but if you do what I say, if you follow me, if you follow my principles, you won't have to wait in or walk in darkness. You won't have to walk in ignorance. You don't have to have darkness in relationship. You don't have to fall apart like many people around you whose relationships are falling apart that put on a facade. How many of you know that the little snapshot you put on Facebook when you're on vacation or Instagram doesn't really tell you the value and what's really going on in that relationship? You can get anybody to smile for a second, and then we just go back to hating each other. You don't have to fall. You don't have to fail and fail and fail and fail and fail and then finally get it right. We've got God's blueprint. God says, if you do it my way, if you'd follow me, if you'd look at my written down principles for how you're building your life and your marriage and your relationships, listen, you will succeed because they lead to life because my word is in the light and you don't have to live in ignorance or darkness. There should be life in our relationships. Do you realize that as followers of Christ, if all of us were living our lives based on God's blueprints, we were living out His principles, that that's going to bring light into our life, that then people are going to look at, God says, I want people, other people that don't know me, to be able to look at believers and their relationships, their friendships, their business relationships, their romantic relationships, their dating relationships, their marriage relationships. They should look at all of your ship and be drawn to it. Be careful when you try to explain this to somebody later. You know why? Because if I build my life and my relationships off the principles of God's word, it brings light. You cannot have life where there's not light. So God says, people should be able to look at the relationships at all of our ships and it draw people to Him because they see something different. Can I be honest with you today? Let me share a transparent story. Doesn't matter what you say, I'm going to do it anyway, but that's just permission sometimes is valid, right? So many of you know my wife, Debbie. Obviously, if you know her, you know she's absolutely the better half of this equation called the Winsteads. She's the glue. She has things that I'll never have. We were young when we got married. I was 20, she was 19. Don't recommend it, but God takes care of fools and widows. I told you we've known each other for about 40 years. We've been married almost 40 years. And I'll admit to you very honestly that I married out of my league. But I remember years ago, right, when things were going good. You wouldn't ask this question if things weren't going good. And we were talking about this thing about marriage. And I said, Kent, let me ask you a question. When you were a teenage girl and you dreamed of marrying a man one day, was I what you dreamed of? And I saw her kind of pause. And then she said, well, actually, no. That hurt my feelings. And I said, what do you mean? I wasn't what you dreamed of. She said, no, actually, I was, I don't really know exactly, but it was going to be somebody tall and somebody dark and somebody handsome. And I took an old tune from Meatloaf, and I said, oh, don't be sad, because 2 out of 3 ain't bad. And I think she asked me, was I what you dreamed of? And I was like, no, actually, I was going to marry J-Lo, right? Like, I mean, come on. I mean, how do you give in to losing like that? And so but most of us had kind of an idea, right? My wife wasn't exactly what I thought up in my head about the type of relationship that I would be in. But can I tell you this, and honestly, what I had in mind versus what God had in mind, his blew me away. And what I found out is something that is a principle that I want to help you understand today. And that is your list, not just about who you're going to marry, but about a lot of things in life and about relationships. My focus today is to get you to rip that list up. Seriously, this is a principle that I'm going to teach you that will apply to all relationships and every other part of your life. You have a list. Whether you ever wrote it down or you didn't, you have a list. You have a list in your head about relationships, about family, about business, a timeline. We have lists. Something you wanted to happen, something you've always thought would happen, something you dreamed and you hope would happen. But whatever it was, we've all got the lists. All of us have lists. Let me give you a definition of the list. It's a set of predetermined, self-fabricated, keyword fabricated, ideas of a specific person, a specific situation, or an outcome, written down or not written down, continually thought about, verbally communicated, by which erroneous expectations become goals for achievement. What's your list? For many of us, our lists, when we formulate them, God was nowhere around, but we just felt like this is what needs to be on my list. This is the type of person I see myself being in a relationship with. This is how I see my business turning out. You ever had those dreams? Remember when you were 18? And you thought things like, when I'm 25, I'm going to own my own business. By the time I get 27, I want to have 2 kids, a house, a white picket fence. When I get 35, I'm going to be a millionaire and I'm going to retire. Where'd you get that from? Where'd you get that list from? Was it from God or was it from watching other people? Was it following his blueprint or it was just what came to your mind? There's people sitting here today and there's people watching at home today. You're frustrated, let's be honest, because your list doesn't match your life. Some of you have never enjoyed life because it hasn't matched up to your self-fabricated list. That's why I want to teach you this principle today. About all relationships, because this affects every one of us. God is not a God of your list. You get that? God is not a God of my list. And the reason I have to help you with this is because when we make lists, you can fill this in if you're taking notes. Your list for you will never look like God's list for you. You know why? Because his list is better. Because his ways are higher than your ways. I'm a living example of this principle. There's no way if people have asked me, Pastor, did you see yourself doing what you're doing? I'm like, no way. Ask my teachers from school, did they see me doing what I'm doing? They'd say, no way. People say, what do you do for a living? I said, all I know is I got kicked out of class for part of what I do now on Sunday mornings. It wasn't the word of God part. It was my sense of humor that wasn't always pure. I was going to be a professional athlete. If I wasn't a professional athlete, I knew I was going to make more money than my dad made, and I was going to retire before my dad retired, which, by the way, he retired at 55. I'm 59. Can I just tell you God's list is better than your list? And I had all these ideas. I had this list. I never wrote them down, but I have them in my head. And you know what God said? No, 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 no. Your list for you, Scott, I've got a better one. The relationship goals that you have, Scott, I have a better one. How you're going to make an impact and how you're going to make a living and how you're going to go through this world. Listen, you have your list, Scott, but I've got a better list for you. And here's what I want everybody to understand. I'm trying to give you principles to build your relationships on, because God's ways are higher than your ways, and it's better than your ways. Fill this in if you're taking notes, these couple of things about the truth about your list. Your list for you will never look like God's list for you. You got that already, right? Your list factors in what you want. That's what mine did. God's list factors in what you need. My list always was about what I wanted. God's list is always about what I need, about a bigger and a better idea, a better picture. See, when Debbie was thinking about Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome, she didn't think about the fact that maybe what God had for her was somebody close to the ground, because there'd be times where somebody needed to drop to their knees and pray for her in the middle of the night. You following me? I didn't even know that's what God had in store for me, but God did. Thank God I didn't stick to my list. You see, a lot of us, we just look at the exterior. She didn't understand that she needed me. Did you hear that, baby? You need me. You needed me. Remember, I told you I'd be honest? Fact is, I needed her. The fact is, listen, when we were 20 and 19 and didn't even know Jesus, he knew that we were going to not only meet him, but what he had in store for us, and he knew that I couldn't do what I do without somebody stronger and shaped in a different way than I've ever been shaped to come together and make one that would be more complete than any of us could be by ourselves. This church wouldn't be the same without her. You need to do what I had to do in my life. Many of you, that's where we're at, right at the foundation today. And what I had to do years ago, or what I chose to do, and it was one of the best decisions I ever made after giving my life to Jesus, was I had to take my list and rip it up and trust that God knows better than I know. Some of you need to take your list, whether it's just written in your mind or it's written down, and you need to start praying for God's list. Now, am I saying every single thing on your list, God will never allow to happen? Not saying that. I'm just telling you, God's list is better than your list. And it starts when you surrender your list to God and say, God, I'm going to start praying for your list. I'm trying to give you a principle that will save you a lot more years of frustration. Because what if what God has for you looks nothing like what you think you have for yourself? That's dangerous, isn't it? Isn't that a little scary? Let's just be honest. That could be a little scary. But can I give you a formula real quick for frustration? Some of you don't know the formula, but you say, I'm awful frustrated. Let me just show it to you. It's fabricated expectations. Who fabricated them? We did. In our own mind, from what we saw, fabricated expectations plus failed realities. Anybody ever have a failed reality? You had this idea, but it didn't fail. It didn't work. Equals feelings of frustration. You're fabricating. You made it up. I made it up. Remember those stories? I just wonder if God was sitting and laughing at some of us. Not because he doesn't care, but because he does, and he knows that his ways are better. Some of you say, when I'm graduate, this is probably my wife, I'm going to marry someone 6'6". He's going to make six figures. We're going to have six kids. I'm going to drive a Mercedes 600. But God wants to develop something in us. You're frustrated because you've been trying to make your list happen and it hadn't happened, and that equals frustration. Your list doesn't look like your life, and that frustrates people. And today I'm begging you, whoever you are, wherever you're listening from, you're here live in this service, right? You need to know this. It's on the back of your note sheets. If you want to flip it over, your list is less than God's best for you. Your list is less than God's best for you. Do you know God's lowest thought about you is higher than your highest thought about you? Proverbs 19, verse 21. Take a look at that. It's where we're going to end today. This is just a warm-up, by the way. You don't want to miss next week. Many are the plans in a person's what? Heart. Ooh, that's nasty. But it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. Do you know God has a purpose in all your relationships? He doesn't want you to just have good internet, Facebook, Instagram photos. Do you know that the spouse that you have, God wants to take enemy territory through your relationship? He wants to take your business and make an impact that's far greater than just putting money in your pocket. He does. He doesn't want you to just have kids. He wants you to raise those kids in a God-honoring home, following God's blueprint, where they become arrows in God's quiver, where He can make a difference in this world. That's why we're so passionate about having environments for kids of all ages. That's why we're so passionate about you taking next steps and growing up spiritually. Matter of fact, you don't have to wait long. Next weekend is class. I'll explain that to you at the back end here. God says you may have a list, because most of us do. You've got plans, most of us do, but God says, I've got a purpose for you. Fight me if you want, God says. And I did this, but I can still remember the time where I got on my knees and I ripped up my list and I said, I'm yours. You want to hear a story sometime from my wife, ask her. It's rare that my wife gets upset, gets angry. And when I was so excited to say I felt like God wants me to be in ministry, my wife got angry. Let me give you a don't do. When she got that angry, we were both new Christians. I said, wow, you look like Satan yourself. That's not a good thing. But I did that. Wasn't a good thing. But she told me, I don't want to be a pastor's wife. I'm not going to live like that. And then I can't tell you the time frame, but it wasn't very long after that that she came to me in tears and said, I just want you to know that I'll go wherever God leads us to go. You know what she did that she didn't even realize she did? She got on her knees and she took her list and tore it up. God has plans for you. He has plans for your relationships. The Bible said, I have good plans for you, plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. You'll only get there by building on His blueprint. His purpose will prevail. I think the most spiritual thing, because if your truth were known, you know where a lot of your list comes from and a lot of mine came from? Watching other people. I saw where people went on vacations. I still wrestle at time. I see what people drive. I see where they live. I see people that retired early and seem to be doing what they want and they appear to be happy. And you can get discouraged. But if we only knew the truth, your list is less than God's best for you. Your list that's been fabricated by watching other people And if you knew the truth about their lives, they're not near as happy as they thought. They're not fulfilled. Listen, they're going to retire, maybe rich and die, but then what? God says, I got eternity in a perfect place. You think your friends live in a nice place? You think they drive something cool? Wait till you see which I have prepared for you that love me. God's more interested in your destiny than he is your desires. I'm going to end with Psalm 37:4, and then we're going to close. This is a verse that's misquoted all the time. I mistaught this for years, didn't even know it. I just read it for what it seems to say. But the Word of God is a principle thing. Here's the misquoted, misunderstood verse. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. Oh. For years I misquoted it. I thought, God, you're like the greatest Santa Claus ever. Like, I just tell you what I want. I just write it down. I name it and claim it. You're like the real Santa Claus. Like, I'll just tell you what my heart desires and you'll just give it to me. But then he goes on later in a different part of the Bible and says, the heart is the most deceitful thing about me. I can't trust my heart. You ever tell people, oh, just trust your heart? No! Your heart is deceitful. My heart's got me into a lot of trouble in life. And so wait, God, but you said you'll give me the desires of my heart. I mean, I made a list because you said you'd do that. And he said, Scott, you missed it. Here's what it really means. When you put everything you are in the Lord, think of this. When you line it up under God's principles, when I take my marriage and I put it under God's principles and his blueprint, when I take my kids and I line it up under God's blueprint, when I take my business and I line it up under God's principles and his blueprint, then he, guess what? He will give me the desires because his desires become my desires because I fall in love with him, a God that really cares about me and never lead me astray. And then his desires become mine. And when that happens, then he'll give me the desires of my heart because it matches his. And some of us are so frustrated because the list that we had that we gave the big Santa Claus, it didn't happen. And you know what you're missing? You know the most spiritual thing you could do this week is give yourselves about 30 minutes, put some worship music on, sit down with your written out list or the one that's been in your head and come to the point to realize, God, do I trust me more or do I trust you? And then take that list, the most spiritual thing you can do this week. And tear it up. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, oh, I want to thank you and praise you for today. Thank you that you're God and that I'm not and that we're not. That your ways are higher than our ways. That your word is absolute truth. It's not a suggestion. God, when we think of your Bible like another thing amongst many things that we can make decisions off of, that it's just one option, listen, your word is not an option, it's truth. God, I pray that many of us hearing this today would do something really spiritual this week. That we would sit down and do an honest assessment and tear up our list and pray for your list. That we would make your word a higher priority than social media, than reading the newspaper, than watching the news. That we've got the blueprint from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to build our lives and our relationships and our businesses and our marriages and our dating all on your principles. Forgive us, God, for ignoring them, for doing things our way, the things that seem right, but your word says leads to death. If you're here today and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, can I tell you that's your first and the most foundational decision you can make? You don't just rip up your list. You rip up your life. You say, God, I give you my life because I'm ruining it. I'm destroying myself. I can't get to where you are doing it my way. I'm not good enough. I'm not perfect, and heaven requires perfection. I can't even get to you and inherit eternal life and heaven life on my own. It's impossible. That's why you so loved me that you came and you lived and you died and you were beaten and you shed your blood to pay for sins, but they weren't yours, they were mine. And you were buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later you defeated death. And you say that anyone, and that includes me, that would give their life to you, that you would give your eternal life to them as a gift. You'll forgive us, cleanse us from every wrong. Adopt us into your family, never to be unadopted. God, it's mind-boggling, but thank you. If that's you, make this your prayer. Say, God, I don't understand it all, but I know I'm not perfect, and you are. So right now, I give you my life. In a sense, I'm tearing it up and saying I trust you more than I trust me. My ways not work. Does that mean everything's going to be wonderful and perfect? No. Go watch last week. But God, you love me more than I love myself. You created life so you know how it's to be lived. You created relationships, and I've messed them up. I'm tired of my blueprint. I'm tearing it up and doing you. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. And from this day forward, I want to live for you. I'm going to open up your word daily. I'm going to start to learn your principles. I'm going to start to trust you. Give you all the praise in your name. And everybody said, amen.